have to sing unto you, to seek your face, to love you, to bless you, to thank you, to worship you, Lord, because unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Thank you, because we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help, even in this time of need, to worship you, to bless you, to sing unto you, singing in the spirit, singing in the understanding. Lord, indeed we lift you high. Lord, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Thank you, because as we have lifted you high, even in our lives in this place, you will draw men unto you. You will draw us unto yourself to become more like you, to draw from you life eternal, to draw from you strength and joy, to draw from you light for wisdom, to draw from you, Lord God, your goodness and your mercy, to draw from you all that is of you that will change us and transform us, O Lord God. You will draw us unto yourself, so it will be less of us, more of you. You will draw men, O Lord God, unto you as they see us, because you are lifted up in our lives, in our circumstances, in our situations, over our challenges. Be lifted high, be magnified, be exalted. Let us not leave this place the same way we have come in. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, because you are the one that comes in. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard, lifts up a standard against him. Thank you for the name of Jesus that has been lifted up even in this place. Thank you for you are the one that does the transforming work. You are the one that is in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, have your way. Take your place. Fill this place with your glory and with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for his mercies and his presence, because indeed our King is lifted high, and he will continue to be lifted high in our lives in Jesus' name. I'd like to welcome you to Zion State Fellowship, the campus outreach arm of Scripture Partial Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson. Mr. Luby Johnson, let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. And for our parents, we trust that by his mercy and grace, they will see the travail of their souls. They'll be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, minstrels. Thank you, instrumentalists. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's just give a warm word of blessing to the person at our left and on our right. Give them a warm handshake, a beautiful smile, saying you're welcome to fellowship this evening. I trust that you had a wonderful day. Trust that your day is going to get better. You're going to end this month in a greater degree of glory, of his goodness, of his wisdom, of his power, in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads as we go into the time of sharing and interaction. Father, we thank you again, because from glory to glory. Thank you for the time of worship. Lord, we pray indeed that you be lifted high in this place of interaction as we share the word. Lord, feeding upon your word. Come, Lord, Holy Spirit, you come and do your thing. Lord, come and do your thing in our lives. Lord, come and put your word in our hearts. Lord, grant us the boldness, the courage to share the word. Help us to be edified, to edify one another. Lord, help us to receive wisdom and revelation, light from above. Truth sets us free, strength and encouragement. Lord God, take us from where we are to where we ought to be, in place of condemnation no longer. Lord, to the place, O Lord God, Father, of conviction, O Lord God, construction. Lord, that place, O Lord God, of courage. Lord, of edification, transformation. Lord, King of saints, that you will grant us strength and wisdom, revelation, understanding. The same Spirit, the same Word, and Spirit upon our fathers will be upon us as well, in the name of Jesus, to be upon us. It's not depart from our mouth, from our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you help me and everyone that will be speaking, that will speak the word of God with all boldness and accuracy, with all humility. It will come forth in accuracy, with power, with clarity, simplicity. Lord, from you, Lord, Holy Spirit, Lord, like wells of living water, it will spring up from our hearts, O Lord God. Father, it will bring revelation and understanding, healing and strength to everyone that will be listening, in the name of Jesus. Thank you again, because we know you will do great and mighty things, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, according to your power that is at work within us. Thank you for prayers that have gone ahead. We worship, bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Another privilege, you know, to share the word. And we thank God for the rain as well. It's raining season, so don't complain and don't be angry. You know, the farmers want it. So even if you don't want it, the farmers want it. But we thank God that God makes all things beautiful in his time. And you know, the Bible also says that the word of God is like rain, that it will come forth and it's not returned to him void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. And so, you know, when I look at natural things, and, you know, the enemy wants to use it to disturb you or to make you angry, you say no. There's a word of God that actually confirms that, and you can use it as a prayer. That as this rain is falling, oh, and it's going into the ground, you know, it's making there to be food and a harvest. The word of God that we'll hear this evening to go like that rain into our hearts, you know, and to bring forth a harvest of the fruit of God, of the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. That all that God has spoken concerning us, it will not return to us void, but it will accomplish that which it pleases, like the rain is accomplished that which it pleases in the earth, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so this evening is the last Friday of the month. Can you believe it's already the end of June? You know, and we don't take it for granted. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. God has been good and he's merciful and he's been faithful. You know, trying times, but also good times. You know, and the word of God also prevails. And, you know, in this last month, we've talked about a lot of things. You are the one that just do the preaching, you know, this evening. And so get ready. You know, look, remember what you've been taught. Remember the challenges, how you've tried to practice some things and the challenges that you faced. You have contributions, you have questions. It is today that we're going to trash it out and deal with it. So there's nothing to be shy about. There's nothing to be afraid of, you know, and there's nothing, you know, to brag about. We're just going to edify one another today. And so just a few words to remind us about the things that we've talked about. If you need to increase the volume, please do. And so the things we've talked about, specific characters in the Bible, we continued in that path. And we talked about Joseph. So peradventure you have forgotten. I hope you have not forgotten. Remember, we talked about Joseph. We also talked about Moses, the man of God. You know, our prof took us through these lives of these people. As pastor has been teaching us, we talk about Joseph that as a young adult, you know, he had a dream, you know, but he also had challenges along the way, you know, because as the dreams come, the enemy also comes to try them. And Joseph himself needed to be broken. He needed humility. He needed to develop in character. You know, as God has given you a revelation, don't think that it's just tomorrow. You need character to be able to carry that revelation. And to be able to blossom with our revelation, to be able to prosper with our revelation, so that the revelation does not destroy you. You know, the Bible says that the prosperity of the fools destroy them. And so, but when you have character, you'll be able to fulfill the vision that God has for you. And many times, it's not even your vision, it is God's vision. He has just downloaded it into your own heart because it is you that is going to fulfill it. And so you don't even have to be jealous of another person, because for each of us as members of his body, God has a vision and has a will that he wants to fulfill through you. Are we together? It's like one computer being jealous of another computer, or one mobile phone being jealous of another mobile phone. No, each of them has been made for somebody and has been made to do a particular thing. Are we together? And so that's how life is. And all you need to do is to pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He will let you know his will, you know, for you and what he wants to fulfill upon the earth. And to have the good health, the long life, you know, to be able to fulfill that will upon the earth. You know, I always say something. I wrote an article once. And they always say to Yoruba that the heavens are wide enough for birds to fly. Are you listening to me? There is no reason for you to collide with another person. The stars in the sky, none of them get jealous of each other. The heavens are wide enough for each one to shine. Are you listening to me? So if somebody is shining, you don't need to be jealous of them. All you need to find out is what they are doing. And if it's in line with God's will, to begin to emulate. That's why the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you listening to me? And so talking about Joseph, he had the vision, he had the revelation, you know. And God used the constellation, you know, to explain to him. But you know what happened? He had jealous brothers, you know. And then they sold him to Potiphar's, the first three in the pit. So we talked about the pit. It's all about Potiphar's house, you know, where there was another temptation. But he stayed true to the word of God. And we also mentioned the fact that the reason why he was able to stand strong, you know, because for a guy to face a woman of the house, a married woman, is a strong thing. The Bible says something, you know, that she spoke to him day by day. So Satan's tactic many times, you know, Satan's tactics many times is to keep up the pressure, you know, and so you have to be aware of your enemy. It's important that you know your enemy. You know, the Bible says that she cast her eyes on him and then she spoke to him. She kept telling him. She kept telling him. But you know something about Joseph? The Bible says that where iniquity abound, grace did much abound. So the guy himself increased in wisdom. He sought God more for strength. He sought God more for wisdom. And then he did something that we must all do. The Bible says that he never sought to stay wherever she was. So again, if we bring it to our contemporary times, this is not the day to be saying, no, me, I'm okay, I'm strong. And if they show a movie, you know, it has so much sexual explicit scenes, don't worry, it's just a few seconds, I'll be able to overcome it. I know, it's just for a while. No, it's not a big deal. You understand? You need to flee all appearances of evil. Meekness is not weakness. You know, and these tactics that God has given us to overcome the enemy, especially in the area of purity, and I must confess my sin, Pastor sent something about purity, and he said I should share it with us, but immediately after the fellowship, I'm going to share it with us, and so it's straight from his heart, you know, so it's important that you watch it later. But the point I'm trying to make is, what Joseph did was to flee. He fled. Listen to me. So we know that the secret to overcome sexual immorality and temptation is this day, it's to flee. Don't say I'm strong. Don't say I'll just check it. There's nothing that's going to happen to me. It's just a few seconds, just a few minutes. Let me even see what they are doing. No, it's a lie of the devil. Listen to me. She cast her eyes on him and sought to talk to him each day, day by day. And so you see that the temptations and the trials that are bombarding us, especially in this end time, are day by day. You understand what I'm saying? But Joseph stood strong in faith. He kept speaking the word. He kept thinking the word. And he kept doing the word. The dream part was to flee. Do you understand what I'm saying? The dream part is not that I'll stay in the kitchen without. No, there's nothing she can do to me. I'm strong in the Lord now. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's speaking the word, but he's not doing the necessary things. There is a wisdom, you know, that God wanted him to do, and that was to flee. Now, he entered into prison, but the Bible said the presence of the Lord was with him. Because he kept doing the will of God. He kept thinking. He kept praying. You know, he kept speaking God's word. He was generating power and the presence of God that kept surrounding him. He was aware and conscious of God that is invisible. And you see, the thing about us again is the challenges of the time. You have culture surrounding us. You have technology all over. You have visible things. And Satan is trying to project them through these media channels. You know, and so you must be aware and more conscious of God with you and God in you. I know he's invisible and his spirit. You have to recognize that God is spirit. You are his spirit. And so you must learn to fellowship with that spirit being and be more conscious of the spirit. It's a development. It's a training. It's a renewal of the mind that we must come to. And it takes prayer. It takes reading the word. What you fix your eyes with and interact with is what is going to... you're going to be more conscious of. And so if you are more conscious of activities on the mobile phone, Netflix, Facebook, Instagram, X, you know, rather than the word of God, you don't spend so much time in the word of God, you're not going to be conscious of God. Don't let me lie to you. And don't think that, oh, I'm going to read the word of God on Twitter. I'm just going to follow a pastor on Twitter and be listening to his daily words. That's not sufficient. Don't let me lie to you. Listen to me. And so it's important that you recognize that the challenges, the things that we are facing, you have to be more conscious of it too. More conscious of the spirit realm, more conscious of God, more conscious of an enemy that knows how to use these tactics as well. But recognize that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that created him and created all these things. Are we together? I'm deliberately, as I talk to about Joseph, I'm also bringing to contemporary life as much as possible as the Lord helps me. And then from there, from prison, he remained humble, he remained sweet. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't unforgiving. It doesn't mean that those challenges didn't come. You know, they had hurt him. Family had hurt him. I don't know who has hurt you, but you need to learn to keep yourself in love with God and develop love. You need to, and to walk in love is not straightforward, guys. It's not going to come like ripe cherries. You need to even pray to walk in love. You need to pray to walk in love. Like me, there's something I started praying for meekness. I never knew that it was meekness, but some guys had wrote a book, and they had a revival in their country in Canada a long time ago. And they used to have lots of young people come to church every day. Things changed. People were hungry for God, you know. And so in the course of it, that man said to him, he said that God told him that something greater is even coming. And what it is going to require is meekness. Now, people don't usually talk about those things. You know, people don't talk about what is coming. People don't talk about how a whole nation is going to be swept with revival, you know, and how things are going to change. People are going to be more aware of God, you know. But a key thing that he says, that meekness is a key thing. And the Bible says that the Lord just said, learn of me, for I walk around with sandals. Is that what he said? Learn of me, for I walk around barefooted. Is that what he said? Learn of me, for I'm a man of power. Is that what he said? What he said is, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He knew that that was the foundation and the key to power, to wisdom, to intelligence, to success, to victory, to anything you can ever desire or dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so meekness is just one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so we're talking about Joseph in that same prison. He learned to forgive. He learned to walk in love. And you must pray to walk in love. You know that area of your life, amongst the characteristics of divine love, that you have challenges with. I listen to me. And so I am looking into my life and I see, oh, I need to love righteousness and hate sin. If I need to devote the hour of prayer to just that single sentence, that is sufficient. Just, and because I know that maybe that's where the enemy is trying to hammer on. Some of us is pride. Some of us is unforgiveness. You need to take that specific thing. And you know, the Bible talks about these sins that easily beset us. And so look into your life and look, compare it to the fruit of the Spirit. Those characteristics of divine love in 1 Corinthians 13. And pick that one character that you know that you are having a challenge with and begin to pray it on a daily basis. And you begin to see that you begin to win in that area. It's like somebody playing football and they know that there's a loophole in one wing. And they keep using it, keep scoring. And you're just looking and say, these people are scoring, but you're not doing anything about it. And not strengthening defense in that area. All right, listen to me. And so for each test, Joseph passed until he came into the prison. And God gave him wisdom and revelation. You know, and we've been talking about the Pauline prayers. And we said that the throne is not the end. Because he had to bring his brothers together. They had to go from a family to a nation. And then we moved to Moses. And of course, we won't have to go again into the life of Moses. Because we spoke explicitly, extensively about Moses, the man of God. Meek, quiet, he knew the way of God. He sought God. He did miracles. He had the rod, which is the word. You know, he had his challenges. He was mighty in words and in deeds. And we talked about us last week also having not just natural education. He built pyramid. And it was good that he went to school. And he was schooled. The Bible says that he was actually educated in all the learning of Egypt. But we said that you must also have a spiritual education, you know, so that God can glorify and be glorified through your natural education. And we also say that you must always undergird your natural businesses and education with prayer and with the power of God. I listen to me. And so if you look into the life of Moses, ultimately God wanted him to build the tabernacle. If you go and read those dimensions, you might be bored. But truth is, they are all specific instructions from heaven. The Bible says that I want to build this temple according to pattern. And so God gave him dimensions. If the guy had not been educated in Egypt, he wouldn't have been able to build it. All them Aaron couldn't build it because they were not as educated as Moses. And so that's why we're saying that your natural education, God wants to use it. God wants to fill it. God wants to inspire. He wants to direct. He wants to guide it. He's the creator of those things, guys. Let me lie to you. And so he used it to build the tabernacle, dimensions, curtains, everything. The brazen altar, everything. He said, get Bezalel. And the Bible tells us that Bezalel was an architect. And so sometimes when you are praying and you're an engineer and a mech engine and electrical engineer or any of these different fields, there are guys in the Bible that you can look, even at their original Hebrew name and their attack and their lifestyle, you see that this guy fits. The Bible says he was a craftsman. He was an engineer. And that the Lord said that I have put my wisdom in him. Do you understand? So there are guys in the Bible that you can follow after and pray into your life. The graces of Bezalel and Aholiab. These are people that God used to build the tabernacle and under the direction of Moses, who was educated. But it was all undergirded with spiritual power, with prayer and revelation and fellowship and interaction with God. And then finally, before I now throw it out for you guys to now talk, because I know they are bubbling with revelation as they are looking at me like this. And they are bubbling with contribution. But one person I want to end with is Joshua. And the reason I want to talk about Joshua is because there's a mentality we need to develop, which I think that as young people, we have thrown away or we are not aware of or we don't have. Because again, the system seems to have been wired to deceive us and wire us also to not be militant. We are not as militant as we should be. We have this civilian mentality, and I just want to end with these two scriptures, like Paul gave Timothy. The first one is in 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. And you see, it applies to each one of you. It applies to each one of us. And I'm going to tell you how it applies to each one of us. It's important that you know that the Bible is a prophetic book. I've shared over the times how even, you know, even computationally, a rabbi in Israel has seen that the Old Testament, they are all computer programs. And he was able to write an algorithm to be able to see, you know, and predict. Now, so many of those things, they didn't even understand. You know, but when you have revelation, you understand what they are trying to understand. How the Bible predicts, you know, an assassination, how it does in September 11. Everything is there, you know, but that was not the point right now. The point I'm trying to make is that everything in the Word, the life of Daniel, the life of Joseph is prophetic. It's about you and me. It's not just a story. These things that have been written unto us are for us to admonish us and to help us who are living in the end of times so we don't make the same mistakes. The same way they were in the wilderness and you had people that were committing fornication, you're having the same people in this end time. They're having the same challenges. People that are circulating around the idol of Baal, while Moses was in the temple, you're having the same thing happening. As Moses is in the temple, as Moses is in the mountain, you have people also that are in the mountain that always pray and receiving the law of God and revelation. So these different pockets, you're having people that are rebellious, like Korah and Abiram, you also have people in the church and in the world that are rebellious. So you have the same spirit replaying itself. And so you want to be aware of, where am I? Am I an Esau right now? Or am I a Jacob that needs to be transformed? Do I recognize that I have this 419 mentality and attitude and habits? You know, like Jacob, I need to change to Israel. Am I a Joseph that actually has a path of Joseph, but I'm having challenges in this area and I need to deal with it so that my destiny is not slowed down or hindered from being fulfilled like Joseph to reign? Because some of us are actually Josephs, but we're having shortcomings in specific areas. Joseph had his own shortcoming in talking too much. You know, but some of us, it might be in that area of purity that we're having challenges. It doesn't stop you from being a Joseph. That's one thing I want you to know. And so don't be discouraged and say, oh, I can never make it. I can never be like Joseph. Or I talk too much. Oh, I can never be like Joseph. You know, I've done this thing multiple times. I've failed in these areas. No, love never fails. And that's why God is encouraging you. Look, my destiny for you, my purpose for you is to be like Jesus. My destiny for you is to be like Joseph. And if you're having challenges in this area, stand up again. The righteous man falls 7 times, but you stand up again. Right, listen to me. So never condemn yourself and say, oh, I can never be like him. Ah, Joseph, I can never be like him. You can be better. We are Esther. We are under a better covenant with better promises, with a better mediator. Right, listen to me. And so it's even because your destiny is bright and brighter. The Bible says the enemy, the adulteress, hunts for the precious life. If your life is not precious, they will not want to pull you down. Right, listen to me. And so with Joshua, I'll just end with these two sentences so we can talk. It says, this charge and admonition I commit in your trust to you, Timothy, my son. This is amplified. In accordance with prophetic intimations, which I formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare. We are in a warfare, and you must be aware of that. It looks easy, it looks nice. Oh, man. Your academics, you feel that you don't need to worry about it. Your finances, you don't think you don't need to worry. Things are just happening. Circumstances are just happening. No! There are spiritual forces all around that seek to pull us down. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, this area of health, character, there are places we need to worry about on a daily basis and pray. Now listen to me. The Bible says that we have been seated with him in heavenly places, but it doesn't mean that you won't pray or you won't worry good warfare. The prophetic instructions was what he was saying, that you need to use the prophetic intimations to wage a good warfare. The Lord has spoken good concerning you. Doesn't mean, okay, the Lord has spoken good concerning all of you. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody just shouts amen. I think that is the end. No. You have to wage a good warfare with the Lord has spoken good concerning me in the place of prayer. So it will actually happen. One last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Talking about Joshua, you see Joshua, after Moses died, Joshua was chosen because he had followed hard after Moses and followed instruction. He and Caleb were the only ones that believed out of the 12 spies. You know, and Joshua means the Lord is our salvation. Yeshua, Jesus. You know, that's just the New Testament, Old Testament of the word Jesus. And so Joshua waged a good warfare to possess the land. And even though the land was theirs, like a wonderful man of God said, obtaining or ownership is not the same thing as possession. Can we say it together? Ownership is not the same thing as possession. Say it again so I can enter your mind, so that you can know that, because God has spoken good concerning me. Yes, I own that, and he has spoken good concerning me. But it doesn't mean possession. Many people, God has spoken good concerning them. You know, you can have money in your account, but you might not know. Or you can have money in your account, and you might not possess it. It doesn't mean that you possess it. It's in the account now. It's in the bank. If the bank shuts down tomorrow, God forbid, this is, if OPA should shut down for some people, their life is gone. You understand? Your life will not go in Jesus' name. But you understand what I'm trying to say? It is yours. It's your possession. But, sorry, you're the owner. But it doesn't mean that right now, the money is in the air. It doesn't mean that right now you've possessed it. You have to go to the bank. You have to do the transfer. You have to go to the ATM. You have to possess it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, ownership is always possession. So the land had, God had given them the land. If we had even shown Moses, look, all this land. But let me tell you, there were giants in the land. They had to fight. And so you need to have that mentality, that spiritual mentality, that I'm going to fight on a daily basis. The Bible says wage a good warfare. It's a good warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying you should fight with men. It didn't say we are fighting flesh and blood. It says that we are fighting spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that don't want you to progress or fulfill purpose and destiny. You think Satan is happy hearing that you are coming and you are hearing these things and you have a beautiful destiny? Who throws the challenges against you on the weekly basis? It's him. But you have to fight the good fight, because God has spoken good concerning you. And so in 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul tells Timothy, a young man again, no man who warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. God has chosen you to be a soldier. You need to go and check how soldiers live. And how the guys in the barrack, they deny themselves, but they don't live like civilians. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when you come and you need to pray that God will give you, you know, that 21st century militant Zion Church mentality. A militant mentality. So you are not a civilian. You know, they call them bloody civilians. You are not a bloody civilian that has no clue what is happening, has no clue that you have a warfare against you, spiritual warfare, have no clue that you need to possess that which you own. Bible says that the kingdom of our God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. And that's why next week Friday we're going to start the month with prayer and with worship. But it's not just on a weekly basis, it's on a daily basis that you need to do these things. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I've spoken enough, so I don't speak too much. And so I'm going to leave the floor for you guys. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to hear contributions. I'm going to hear, well, questions and answers while we contribute and edify one another, because you have learned a lot in this course of this week. I have even some more experience than me in some areas. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excellent. Thank you. Let's make it quick, short, so that every other person, and make sure you speak out so that as many people can contribute before 6:30, 6:35.
Praise the Lord. So, my is a question. All right. So, I've been a bit confused about some certain things, and I want, like, clarity. This thing we call purpose as believer, I just want a clear picture of what purpose is, because when I was young, when I began to know Christ, right, then I began to have some thought in my heart that I came to this world for a purpose, which is to bring as much people as possible to make sure that I bring as much people as possible to heaven, and I myself don't miss heaven. So whether with my resources, with my word of encouragement, with my preaching, winning souls, and whatsoever I do, I just make sure that I bring people to heaven and I myself don't miss heaven. So that has actually been what I call purpose. But these days, I've actually seen people, I've seen ministers, when they minister about purpose, they tend to call what I propose as purpose more like breathing. So they say That should be our normal lifestyle. Why purpose has to do with our place of work, maybe our talents and all of those things. So I was trying to connect, even then, I was even trying to connect that same purpose with our talents, but yet they were still trying to give gap between our talents.
Let's just keep it simple. You understand what I'm saying? Let's keep this issue of purpose. Thanks so much for that question, because I know that from the pulpit to the what do they call these guys that try to encourage us? What is it? Thank you. From the pulpit to motivational speakers, this word pulpit can be very, very confusing and very distracting. And look, let's just get it simple and get to the point. And what does the Bible define our purpose as? Irrespective of what anybody tells you. You understand what I'm saying? The purpose is defined in Romans 8:28-29. Whether it is preached aloud or is not preached aloud. Some people are preaching it. And what it says is, and we know that all things work together for our good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, he tells us what the purpose is in Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is your purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, on the path to purpose, you will marry, you will you want to have a good marriage, you want to have a good career, good job, which is the other minor things people have been calling purpose. Oh, you know, you have to be a successful evangelist to win many people to Christ. Look, when I hit the bullseye, all those other things will be added unto me and come in place. The more like Jesus I become, the more you'll be able to hit the bullseye of evangelizing. And that's why he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. It's not you that are going to draw men unto you. It is God in you that is going to draw men unto him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So irrespective of how excited and zealous you are to be able to do that, it seems like a purpose. Your purpose is actually to become like him. The more like him you are, the more you will draw men unto him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't let anybody cajole you or sweet talk you. Like I told you, motivational speaker can so motivate you. You see some statuses. You see that, who motivated that rat to go and face that lion? You know, the point I'm trying to make is your purpose is defined in Romans 8:29. Because the more you are like him, the more you are walking towards that purpose, the more the other things will be, is like a magnet. It will be attracting the best and pulling his will in that area and rejecting that which is not his will in that area. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it is now for you to discover who he is. Because the point is, if I say that my purpose is to become more like Jesus, to become conformed to the image of Christ, the next question you should ask is, who is Christ? How does he look? How does he think? How does he talk? Jonathan, so he doesn't leave you in a very big land that looks overwhelming. My purpose for you is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a failure. He is not poor. He is not sick. So there are some simple things you can also get from his life, from his attitude and his character. And that's why from these people's lives that we've been talking about, Joseph, Moses, we are picking the characteristics of the Christ in them. We are seeing that you can be educated like Jesus or like Moses and be undergirding it with power. The Bible says that Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. Jesus was mighty in deeds and in words. The Bible says that his wisdom, they had never seen that kind of thing. So the point we're trying to make is, the more like Jesus you are, the more all other, let me call them, sub-purposes will be fulfilled. Do you understand? The issue of marriage, the issue of evangelizing, winning people to Christ, the issue of being an excellent businessman or an excellent engineer, all those are, they are sub-purposes, they are minor. The major purpose is to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. When you look into his life again, the Bible says that for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, and he destroyed the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? The works of the flesh. And it's listed in Galatians 5. So from there, let me tell you, when you have Christ as the center, as the North Pole, you understand, it begins to lead you like the star, like let the wise men to where they're supposed to go. As long as you hear, because today you hear this from this pastor, you hear this from that motivational speaker, then you're wondering, what's my purpose? You look so confused. But when you have one target, it's a bullseye, it begins to guide you. It begins to guide you. You see, if you've played video games, you see that once you get something, it begins to attract coins. It begins to attract the best coins. That's how the main purpose is. I listen to me. So don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Next one. Did that answer your question? Important that you have peace with that. And you run with that, irrespective of what any motivational speaker said. Like I said, once you've gone for that, it pulls, you know, the best in that area. It leads you in the path that you should go. This is the way you should go. Walk in it. And you begin to fulfill those other minor things. They are minor purposes. They are not the main things, though. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Good evening. Good evening. My question is a weakened spiritual life. So I'd like to know how it can be identified and how it can be strengthened.
Okay, they are calling me. Okay, if there's a question, okay, thanks for that. I'll also add that. Now, let me quickly answer that question. See, I faced that kind of challenge where my weak spiritual life, one major way you can identify it is many of these things that are being taught, like waking up early to pray, you know, is difficult. You understand? Or you don't have so much joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. A person is not joyful, he's going to be spiritually weak. If you identify things, shortcomings in your life, like not being able to pray, you know, or pray for a long time, you know, or you don't enjoy spiritual things, you know, all this that is exciting people doesn't really excite you. Now, that's a sign of weakness. One thing I can guarantee, and from my experience that I have done in times past, because sometimes you have these high times when, you know, you're able to pray. There are some times when you're able to read the Bible, you're able to speak the word. There are times when it looks as if energy has been drained. One thing I can guarantee are these instructions that we've been given. I believe in practical Christian living, you know, is this Pauline prayers. Because, you know, they deal with strength and spiritual strength and stamina. And so when you pray them, you see that it's like somebody filling your tank bit by bit. You know, life and energy begins to come. So that you begin to see yourself rise up where you've been weak. You begin to see yourself strong. You know, the Bible says something. It said that the summary is this. It's in Proverbs. If you can find it for me. The spirit of a man bears his infirmity. But a weak spirit, what can it do? It is your spiritual life that is supposed to bear your natural weaknesses and help you and support you and encourage you and strengthen those areas. If your spiritual life is now weak, what is going to happen to every area of your life? So the point we're trying to make is, if you can be praying the Pauline prayers, I can guarantee you. Because the Pauline prayers, it asks for wisdom. And the Bible says that wisdom has strength. Do you understand? Wisdom gives life. It says that money is good. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to whosoever has it. And so when you are praying the Pauline prayers, you'll be praying for wisdom. Because wisdom gives strength. Do you understand? Wisdom gives life. Proverbs 8 says that I am wisdom. I have strength. I am understanding. So there are some specific things that I know that if you hit, it will generate power and strength for other areas of your life. I can tell you from experience as a testimony, that the more I pray the Pauline prayers, the more it is attending and dealing with specific things. The Pauline prayers deal with strength, spiritual strength. It deals with wisdom. Do you understand? It deals with life. It deals with knowledge. It deals with knowing God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? So one thing I can drop with you that you can start with is the Pauline prayers. You don't need to be afraid of it. Pray it. Don't stop. Keep praying it. You see your life begin to change. You know, you see strength begin to come. Not from somewhere, from God inside you. And it's a good starting point, and you begin to grow. So I can drop that with you practically before I start just dropping scriptures. Then from there, you now start seeing scriptures that promise you strength and power and might and encouragement. Because sometimes some people are in despair. Some people are not joyful. That's why they don't have strength and motivation. Do you understand? But when you start praying some things, you start beginning to hear encouraging words from scriptures. When you come to fellowship like this, when you read the Bible, it begins to create more light and dawn on you. I listen to me. So I can just drop it to you in one word. Pray the Pauline prayers. I think they dropped it on the WhatsApp group. Pray it. Go and think about it and pray. Look at the scripture and see it. Now, somebody said something concerning what you have said. It's just a contribution. I think we can say our purpose is what God has prepared us to do, while our destiny is whom we have been called to become. Our purpose is what God has prepared us to do, while our destiny is whom we have been called to become. So, well, one thing I know is that the more you recognize that you are supposed to be like Jesus, you're conformed to his image, irrespective of how wide and how tall and how high it is, and you are praying to become like that, your mind will be automatically renewed, gradually renewed, to be able to understand all minor purposes. The way I've defined it is, so you know that there's a major purpose and that there are minor purposes. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there are sub-purposes. Because I don't want to start confusing with destiny and purpose again. I don't want to get into those entanglements. But what the person has said, destiny is who, and then purpose is what. Again, I don't want to get confused. Do you understand? But if we say that there are major purposes and then minor purposes, then you know that the minor purposes will be automatically fulfilled in their heights when you are becoming more fulfilling your major purpose. Even know and believe that major purpose first. And then those other things, they will always align. Do you understand? You'll always catch them. Like I told you about the video game, you get the best coins in those areas concerning that matter. Are we together? It doesn't do away with the zeal that you have to win souls. But why win souls? And at the end, they tell you that, you know, that's not your purpose. It's not to win 5 billion souls. Thank God for 5 billion souls if you can win it. But the more like Jesus, I can guarantee that the more like Jesus you are, the more souls you win, and the more they will stay being won. My having a crowd of 5 million and telling a crowd of 5 million is different from actually having a 5 million that are living the Christian life. There are many 5 million that have gone to crusades, but they don't stay changed. I listen to me. So when you talk about even the quality of the souls that has been won, you know, by the Spirit, is very important. You start seeing that some things are more important than some things. So the Bible says, while I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I grew up, I began to see, you know, mature things. Do you understand? So when we are young, like me, I can tell you when I was in secondary school, I wanted to have a TV station that will evangelize and televangelize, you know, all over the world. You know, now, is it wrong? No, but I haven't done that. But I'm seeing more. Know that there is more to that. Now, I'm still going to do that, but God is showing me, look, it's not even about televangelism. It might be more about internet evangelism. It might be about character evangelism. It might be something else. It hasn't come in its fullness, but I know that it's more that I can still have television stations. But you see, that's not my destiny. That's not my purpose. It's a sub-purpose and a dream and a desire. Why? Because I love God and I want to have more people want to Christ. But will I now say that because I haven't seen that, I've not fulfilled my purpose? No, I'm fulfilling my purpose gradually, and that one is going to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't want to get distracted, but thanks for that contribution. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, church. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I want to add in addition to the purpose. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." So, when we talk about purpose, the purpose God has for us are to help us and to help us fulfill hopes and blessings, to help us achieve what He has for us. So let's just believe that whatever purpose we have, it should be based on God, and I believe it will be very, very great.
Praise God. I just want to add to what it said. You have a purpose, and the purpose God has for us, not for evil. And the purpose is our goal in life. But there's different when you have a purpose, and there's different when you work towards the purpose. Because if you don't work towards the purpose, you might not achieve the purpose. Because what's now we have the purpose. Your purpose is that you want to win souls to the kingdom of God, and your own character alone is not working towards the line. That means you can't achieve the purpose. So you do it on time. You just feel like, okay, I'm discouraged about the purpose. When you yourself, you are not working towards it. So when you have a purpose, is the goal, the main goal is that you should work towards it and make sure you achieve it.
Thank you. While we pray for another person. So I like that in what you have said about his purpose towards our purpose of evil, purpose of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. It brings us back. You see, I never want you to lose this. If you don't lose, I'm coming back to what you now said, my saxophonist. When you see again, you see, in the light of that scripture, you can still see you're being conformed to the image of Christ there. Never lose that, oh guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? A winning of soul. That's why I said that I can make it easy for you by saying that there is a major purpose and there are sub-purposes, you know. And those things, they are even time-bound. Jonathan, like I said again, see, like for me, I'm speaking from experience. There was zeal. I wanted to have a TV station and go and study communication engineering, telecommunication engineering, you know, something that has to do with having a TV station or working a TV station, you know. But, well, it didn't come around that area. Do you understand what I'm saying? But has it stopped me from fulfilling main purpose? No. My main purpose is to become more conformed to the image of Christ. And while I'm doing that on a daily basis, I'm praying for that. I'm seeing light in more areas and other areas, and I'm fulfilling those ones as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so your main purpose, and you can see that, like he's saying, you see, again, in this place, there's nothing about engineering or winning souls or pastoring or teaching or being a medical doctor. He says, the thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. So you can see that in it all, the purpose and the sub-purposes are all encapsulated in that thoughts of peace. Are you listening to me? So he will never contradict his word and contradict himself. Now, the next thing the saxophonist said, which is very important, is process. So my way to purpose, on my way to my desires and goals and dreams, you know, within this purpose of becoming more like Jesus, I must be ready to take the process. And that's why we are talking about Joseph. The guy had a dream, you know, a vision God had given him, a purpose, if we can make it like that, you know. But it didn't just come like that. The guy had to be taken through a process, which is another very important thing that he has mentioned, you know, because it's not tomorrow. Some of us, we still need to change our character, develop our character. You know, there are many things that God will take you through before you get to that place of purpose. And you must appreciate process, or else you can shortchange yourself. Jacob tried to do that, but you see, he came back to the same exam and he had to face his demons. You know, he had to face the angel this time, not even the demons. But he had to confess his faults, you know, and say, look, I'm Jacob. I'm a 419er. You know, and the Bible now says that it now changed him. He had to face that transformation moment, that change moment, you know, before he could fulfill his destiny and his purpose. Are you listening to me? So process is very important, like I said, because you see, we live in this 21st century. Everything is quick, fast food, fast internet, fast. And you're seeing also guys that are not doing what you are doing or learning what you are learning. And they seem to be getting fast cars, fast. Everything seems fast. And you have to be very careful in this fast thing, fast lane, you know, so to speak. You know, recognizing that it is, that process is very important. Very, very important. It's not preached many places because they want the people to have quick blessing. You know, and people are looking for quick blessing. But it's not about that. What if you don't have the character to sustain that blessing? You now see yourself shortchanging and sidetracking. Are we together? So it's important that, now don't magnify the process above the purpose, because the purpose is where you are going, but appreciate and value the process. You know, let the process go through you. Go through the process and see yourself changing. So you even have the boldness and the character to grab and possess the purpose. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why what he has said is very important. That's the whole essence of taking us through Moses, Joshua, what's his name? Joseph. Process is very important, too. Process. Thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so I have something to add. It's regarding the Pauline prayers for the person that has a question for growth. I think, okay, the Pauline prayers, especially Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that has understanding, be enlightened. Okay, I think one thing about purpose is that you don't get it all in a day. It's gradual. Like, okay, will your eyes of understanding be enlightened that you might know better? Okay, I think that was okay, let me read it, sorry. Okay, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, at the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory in your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe and according to the working of his power, of his mighty power. Okay, so that's the thing. Like, this is your purpose right here. Like, this prayer is leading you to your purpose. So that's why the Pauline prayers are very, very important. So when you keep praying them daily, as often as you can, remember, as often the Holy Spirit prompts you, you get to start walking in your purpose. Because the prayer will drive you into your purpose. Yeah, so thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, so let's just begin with reading from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. I believe that in the light of everything that everyone has said, especially with regards to the aspect of purpose, Pastor Lalu mentioned something at the beginning, you know, being more sensitive at this time to everything that is going on in the spirit realm, having a militant mentality. So I want us to read through Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, because I believe at this time is now more of a test of consistency. You know, we've learned a lot of things, but what is the game changer is how consistent you can be with everything that you've learned. If you look at the types of hearts, the one that was thorny heart, not that he didn't have the determination. What happened was he got distracted, and that's really where many of us would be at this time, dealing with a lot of distractions. So I believe consistency is the key, really. And there was something that God said to me. Pastor Lalu said something about not being tossed to and fro when he was speaking. And what God said was, if you want your heart to be fixed, it has to be fixed on something that is fixed. I don't know if that makes any sense. So let's just read through this, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We can take that as distractions. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, consistency, the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So I mentioned that our hearts at this time needs to be fixed on what is fixed. And if we go back to verse 1, we see that there's a race that is set before us. So that is the first thing that is already fixed. We need to fix our hearts on this race to purpose that is set before us. Then we go to verse 2. And then we see the Lord Jesus and the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So he had this joy that was fixed before him, and that was why he was able to endure the cross, to despise the shame. And now he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to be, that's why he says we need to fix our eyes on he who is the author and finisher, because he now is who is fixed before us. He is our purpose. He's who we're trying to become like. So this is how we can be. We need to, like Pastor said, we need to increasingly be more sensitive to all of this. This is our reality. There's nothing. This is what we're moving towards. This is the only thing that is fixed. And the more that we keep our hearts, you know, fixed on this race, fixed on the Lord Jesus, having this joy that is fixed before us, then we wouldn't be tossed to and fro. We wouldn't be. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is not the time to be on double-minded. We have to have our hearts fixed. So that's why I wanted to drop it.
Amen. I'll speak from here, if you don't mind. Using the life of Moses as an example, I'll start with what Pastor Laolu shared earlier about destiny being what we have been called to become, why purpose is what we have been called to do. You know, the word destiny is linked with the word destination. Destination is the end of something, the consummation of something. And it's said in Ephesians 4 about the purpose of the church, that is that we grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So like that's our destination, to grow up to that point. And he also shared something about our Lord Jesus Christ, that his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. It's twofold in the sense that there is a work of the devil that we have to destroy in us, that's the flesh. And there's also the work of the devil we have to destroy on the outside, in institutions, in nations, in systems of this world. He said in Revelations that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So we have to plug ourselves into that mandate, that we have to destroy the works of the enemy in any institution we find ourselves in, marriage, in education, in government, in tech, everything. If you look out there, unless we want to deceive ourselves, I see that there are so many things out there, so many ideologies, philosophies, that we know that if you are discerning, you know that this is not from God. This is definitely devilish. So we need to be able to discern that, okay, this is not God, this is God. Okay, where can I plug myself? Why pursuing you, not things? Where can I plug myself and destroy the works of the enemy, maybe in this field of influence, in this institution, or any such thing? Now, it's said about Moses in Acts 7, verse 35. It says, "This Moses whom they refused, saying, who has made you a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." So I believe we know the backstory of all this. When Moses tried to deliver a fellow Israelite, and he ended up killing someone, and that accusation was brought against him. Now, using Moses as an example, we see the journey he went through. When he first discovered, or shall I say, had an idea of God's purpose for himself, he tried to do it with the arm of flesh. And it is said that he was seen as a ruler and a judge. Another version says umpire. However, when he had gone through process, the 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, he became a ruler and a deliverer. Another version says a savior. So, prematurely, he wanted to judge. But according to God's purpose, his purpose was to deliver people from bondage. His purpose was to redeem. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to destroy the works of the devil. So, back to us now. When God shows you something, you might think, okay, I know what God wants me to do. But it's over time, as you spend more time with him, that it becomes clearer the exact thing he wants you to do. However, while the purpose is, while you are trying to gain clarity on purpose, we know that the destination is sure, it's clear. We are to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we focus on that, we fix our eyes on that, while trusting that as we continue in our walk with him, these things will be made clearer. As I round up, I also speak on, I know Prof mentioned this some weeks ago, talking about the rod of Moses that became the rod of God. We all have things we want to do with our hands. Like, okay, maybe I'll be a fashion designer, I'll do this, I'll do that. See, sometimes those things are indications of where God would have us be. Not every time, sometimes. Because sometimes God has to pull us out of our comfort zones and say that, yes, you might think you are good at this, but this is not what I want you to do. Because if it's based on your strength that you have to do something, then you don't need his grace. So sometimes God will pull you out and say that, no, even though you are not very good at this, I'm going to show my grace through you and do this. So whatever we have in our hands, see it like the rod that was in Moses' hands. And as you go through that encounter with God, it can become something that God is going to use to destroy the works of the devil in whatever sphere of influence we find ourselves. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, David. Thank you. He was one that wrote about the destiny and purpose. So I guess it was just ideal for him to break it down and enlighten us more. So now, one more before we now round off and conclude with everything. So you can see everything is coming to light from major purpose and sub-purposes. Now, it even gets clearer by saying destiny and purpose. Like I dropped that scripture before. For this purpose, the Son of God made manifest by destroy the works of the enemy. Predestined and purpose to be conformed to the image of Christ, to grow up into him in all things. To do that, you need to go through a process and know also that as he's saying, his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. It encapsulates the process, it encapsulates the purpose, it encapsulates the destiny, it encapsulates the other minor things, sub-purposes, and things that you come across as you are going towards your destiny and towards your path, you know, to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. And then the process, and then fixing. I like that part of setting, because David also mentioned fixing. So all these things tie together, and then it gives you a peace of mind that, okay, like you were talking about, having a zeal and a passion to win souls, it is not out of God's will, it is in God's will, you know. But when you begin to focus and fix your eyes on one, you know that along the path, you'll be getting the wisdom to win the soul, in not even beyond the picture that you have had. You know, you'll be a living epistle. You might not even talk too much, or you might just have a word in season to somebody. It might not be to go to be on a field and have 5,000 people. That might not be God, what God wants. But really, the reason you've had that picture, which is not bad, is because that's what we have seen so far. But God might not want to fulfill that through you. It might not be that way he wants to fulfill through you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the Bible says, eye has not seen. You see, so in the course of praying purpose and praying for destiny, you begin to see that some other scriptures are the ones that apply to you in a particular day, in a particular situation. It might just be the way you dress, safe, or the way you talk, that somebody just loves. You've already done an evangelism like that. And it's one day somebody will tell you that, I just like the way you are, the way you talk, the way you are polite. You don't shout. See the way you are fighting, or no, not fighting. You are facing somebody that was contradicting you, and the way you just walked away. You never know. See, that's why this thing is spirit-led evangelism. Let me just drop that for you. You know, and when you pray in the spirit more, and that's why the whole thing that we were talking about is when you have a focus and you fixed your eyes on the word, like David was talking about, to know your purpose more, to know your destiny, to destroy the works of the devil. Because even God had to say so many things with just one scripture. Your purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. So the question is, what are the works of the devil? And that's what I have said, and that's what he also said. This is as you're growing up. You now begin to see that the works of the devil I'm talking about first are internal works of the devil of envy, jealousy, fornication, you know, immorality, you know, over-talking. Those ones are there. And then the works of the devil in different institutions, spheres of influence, field of endeavors. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, but many times we fix our eyes on impacts on the outside, outward impact, forgetting that there's also an inward development that we are supposed to destroy. Are you listening to me? And so like I said, there is God has to speak generally, but as you pray and as you fellowship with Him, as you come to church, you know, you begin to see specifics for specific areas of your life. You know, because the way He has done it through one man is not necessarily the way He wants to do it through you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people that they are winning souls via web, by their lives. It's not by standing on a field for evangelism. But it's still the same God through diverse operations and diverse means. Are you listening to me? And so again, like Chinedu also said, His thoughts towards you are thought of. So you can look at the area you are, the way you are right now. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Even if you're in the pit, His thoughts towards you are not of evil, to give you an expected end. Because it is those thoughts, it is those scriptures that will bring you out of the pit to come into the light. Johnson, so never, Yoruba will say, don't look down and end the movie for yourself when God hasn't even started or ended it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then coming to what Precious talked about, praying. No, I had said it. Praying the Pauline prayers. My destiny and your destiny. Prayers are already there. You see, there are many things that we are trying to do that God is saying, look, guys, you don't have time. I've already minimized. I've already shown you guys. This is just the way. Walk in it. It might not be said by many people, but let me tell you, there's some people that have lived 40 years and they've seen, oh boy, if I had known this thing 40 years ago, this is the answer. Those prayers have been dug out. They are not prayers a man has constructed. They are prayers in scripture. They deal with wisdom. They deal with purpose. They deal with destiny, major purpose, sub-purposes, destiny, purpose, whatever, however I want to call it. They deal with strength. They deal with wisdom. Do you understand? They deal with power. And they affect every area. Pauline prayers. And then fixing our eyes. It is through the prayers you even know what to fix your eyes on. You know what applies to you in different areas, specific times. Are you listening to me? And you know, people also have this question, how will I know the will of God? Pray those prayers. It will start with praying the prayers, because I myself, I said, God, what is your will in this area? God, the Bible says that I want to understand my will. Understanding the will of the Lord. I said, pray the prayers. There's one of the prayers is knowing the present will of God. You can't wish it all. And when somebody said that, you know, I just knew the will of God, so you two be wondering, why can't you more will alone now? And me too, I should just know the will of God. It's not like that. So my thoughts have the mercy and grace, I just applied them. But you are being taught the technicalities of how you can know the will of God. And even while you are waiting to know the will of God in that one area, how you cannot be patient. Those prayers deal with different things. And that's what I've observed. Where you'll be agitated because I don't know the will of God. I heard this man of God said at the age of 12 or 7, he knew the will of God, or from his mother's womb, he knew the will of God. Don't relax. Relax. Your race is not my race. Are you listening to me? And don't compare yourself with another man. Irrespective of how sweet and how amazing testimony it is. But the technical things and the to-dos to experience your own in this path of life is the core thing that you need right now. And so we want to encourage you, pray the Pauline prayers. Pray in the Spirit. Bit by bit, where it is encouragement that you need, God will give you. Where it is patience that you need, God will give you. Where it is light that you need, God will give you. Strength, God will give you. Understand my will in this area, God will give you. The remaining thing will be for you to obey. And that will and power and strength will be there. Because it's one thing for you to know the will of God, brother. It's another thing for you to have the strength to do that will. You can be looking at that will like this, and your will wants to do another thing, and will do another thing. But that will not be your purpose in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's bow our heads as we pray. I believe that we've been blessed. You see, I'm very practical. I believe in practicality because you can hear the sweet things and it can be high up there. It can be sounding so nice, you know, but it comes back to what everybody has said, fixing your eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus. He Himself was, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. But what did He set His eyes on? What do you set your eyes on? What do you fix your eyes on? David also mentioned fellowship. See, all this now talking about purpose and destiny and sub-purposes. You need to fellowship with God. I think it was Chinedu that said it, or Nehemiah, or I keep saying Precious. that God will not show you everything at once. So you can't take it, it will be too much for you. But bit by bit, day by day, moment by moment, month by month, year by year. Sometimes you even look back 5 years and say, wow. So am I going to you? Am I going to Poly? It was all part of the will of God. You know, and even when it looks as if the clay has been messed up, you know, sir, in the potter's hand, he's remolding it and molding it. Because his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. The scripture will always give that hope. The Holy Spirit will always give that encouragement and that revelation. And when the enemy means it for evil, God will turn it around again for good. So you see, God is in it. Just give him the leeway. Just allow him. Just pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray for strengthen me by your spirit in my inner man. So that Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. Pray. Strengthen me according to your glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Different things. Vouchsafe me. Guarantee me worthy of this high calling you have called me to in Christ. This field of endeavor. Give me wisdom. Let me destroy the works of the devil there. If you might be studying something and you're not so passionate or encouraged or interested, continue to pray. Strengthen. Give me wisdom. Give me encouragement. Give me wisdom and revelation in this area. And you never can tell what God will use it for. So that you remain patient and steadfast in that area. You want to continue to pray. It's continuity and diligence. So guys, we're not saying it's all ripe cherries and easy and challenges won't come. But remain strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And like Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And war a good warfare. And so let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. I'm just going to pray two prayers. We're going to pray for wisdom and we're going to pray for strength. And so we say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for strength in the inner man and in the outer man. So in this path to purpose, in this path, to fulfilling purpose and destiny, we ask for fresh mercy. We ask for grace. We ask for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, our God, so that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light. We will know better. We will know more the hope of your calling in Christ, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us and the exceeding greatness of your power which you wrought in Christ Jesus and used him to raise him from the dead. And that same power will walk in our spirit man, will walk in our souls, will walk in our physical bodies, giving us strength, healing, giving us riches, giving us supplying all our needs, so that we will fulfill purpose and destiny. We will live long to fulfill purpose and destiny. We also ask for strength. Strengthen us in our inner man. Strengthen us by your spirit. Cause us to be rooted and grounded in your love. Fixing our eyes on you to fulfill purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bring the spirit of the Lord. Scatter through the skate and keep Father Pajakra. Shake through the Zakatere Mazakata. Have no cause to worry. Cast out of imagination, Brakaya. Pull down strongholds of Mazaka Padoria. Bringing into captivity every thought, the presence of Christ. The release gate, the Daria. Revelation and understanding. Guidance and Mashaya. Strength and Makaya. Counsel and Basuto Brakaya. Uphold our hearts and Masaka to the Rabbiya. By the word of your power. Shakaturi Bereliska. Breaking forth the Messiah on the right and on the left. Dakaturi Bezekaturi Bazakata. Jakaturi Bezekteria. Thank you, wicked spirits in the heavens. We destroy your works. We resist you. We bind you. We cast out every spirit of discouragement, of darkness in my city, of worry, of anxiety, of ignorance. We cast you out. We break your hold and influence. We loose the angels of God to go forth, occupy the air around us, and establish God's perfect will concerning our lives, our purpose, our destiny, and the fulfillment of the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.